Praise the Lord for the burden of the Lord in the book of Malachi. The word in Malachi is really like an equipping or a boot camp for priests. It's really how the priests are being equipped in these days. If Malachi didn't have anything to do with the priests or the service of a priest, it wouldn't be so meaningful. But it's always about the priests. They are being rebuked. The Lord is showing them how it should be. And it applies to us, praise the Lord, because we all want to be a holy priesthood and learn this priestly service so that the Lord can quickly return. And so this morning I really appreciated how the Lord doesn't just give us things, but he also deals with us. And I think we've all had this experience at the beginning of giving this, exercising the priestly service. There are some offerings and some transformations in us that we gain quickly. But there is some defilement. There's dirt in us that is really deep-seated, and it doesn't just go away at once. And the Lord shows he wants to bring us through heat. Why? Because he wants to receive this holy priesthood. Offerings that are truly well-pleasing and acceptable to him. The purer they are, the more fire there is, the more precious it is, the result is for the Lord. And that's also changed my view of certain circumstances or difficulties. If I only look at what the outward circumstances are, then I'll quickly begin to complain. But if I see, Lord, you want to prepare me, you want to make us to true, pure gold, then I would say, praise the Lord. That really brings us up, raises us up. And I really appreciated the most important thing is that the Lord is there with us in that fiery furnace. No one desires to be in a fiery furnace, just like these companions in Daniel, but the Lord was there with them. Praise the Lord. And he's also with us. We don't know what is going to happen to us and what is yet to come. I don't think it's going to get any easier, sorry to say. But the best thing to know is that the Lord is there with us. And what's the way out? It's just to call on the Lord, to hold fast to him, to call on him. Then we'll go through the fiery situation with him together. And then it will result in offerings that are really well pleasing to him. And one test or one tribulation is time. Because we as humans change very quickly with time. As soon as there's a little bit of heat, we'll step on the brakes and might go flee and hide somewhere where we like it better. But if we read Malachi 3, we can see what the Lord says about this. In Malachi chapter 3, verses 6 and 7, "For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Yet from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return?" Amen. I am the Lord, I do not change. Amen. Is this not wonderful? The Lord does not change. Romans says that he would not regret his grace and what he has given us. He will not. For us, it's so different. We always have regrets. We'll say, oh, had I just picked a different job, had I just picked a different career. But the Lord never changes. Amen. He is steadfast. And that's why we also have a way. That's why we have a way to go on. The Lord does not change, but what about his people? They are constantly departing. It says, yet from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances. Oh, Lord. Even already at Mount Sinai, they said, okay, we want to follow the Lord. But shortly after that, they made the golden calf. They already departed. And the Lord said, since I have known you, you are rebellious. Since I've known you, you've been rebellious. That's how we are. Since the day of your fathers. Amen. Oh, Lord. And this is not just rebellion. I don't think any of us would deliberately say, I'm throwing in the towel, forget it. I want nothing to do with the Lord. But in Deuteronomy chapter 8, I'll read a few verses. After the Lord brought his people into the good land, and they arrived there, there is a warning. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments, and his statutes, which I command you today. He's warning the people here, beware not to forget the Lord. Do you think we would forget the Lord? Brother, would you forget the Lord? Not today. Let's continue reading. How could it be that you would forget the Lord? Verse 12, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses. Oh, beautiful house. Isn't that a good thing? And dwell in them. And when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold are multiplied and all that you have is multiplied. Wow. The Lord really blessed them, didn't he? They're doing so well. Everything is being multiplied. Verse 14, when your heart is lifted up and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And then he lists all the things that he did for his people. And that's really what happened. His people departed from him. And it wasn't through enemies, but it was through houses, through doing well. And they just forgot. And let us not forget the priesthood for which the Lord called us to be a holy priesthood, or to forget that the Lord is coming quickly. But this happens to us over and over. That's why the verse says, from the days of your fathers. May the Lord really preserve us. And the Lord then says, so he says, you have been rebellious since the day I've known you. Did he say, well, if it were me, if I were God, I would have said, I give up, forget it. But how does it continue in Malachi? The Lord said, return to me. Return to me. Amen. Let's really chew this word. Return to me. This is really the goodness of the Lord, that he gives us a chance to return Return to me and I will return to you. And according to doctrine or teaching, we might understand this. We intellectually know, okay, before the Lord comes, we must return to him. But what does that actually look like in practice? I think this conference exposed and showed many things. For example, do I really glorify the Lord? And what does this return to the Lord look like? It's not just a prayer, oh Lord, I return to you. But it's really a seeking, Lord, I seek you. Because as we read, the people departed from the Lord and they were so occupied, so busy with so many things. And it was not sinful to be caring for all these things, dealing with all these things. But the Lord said, return to me. You're so busy with things that may be good. Often we seek the Lord in prayer, but we're seeking an answer from him. And if we're serving the Lord, we're occupied with serving him. The Lord says, return to me. This is really, there's really a difference here. Am I seeking the Lord or am I just seeking the answer to my prayer? He says, return to me. The priest should be near to him. And then he says, and I will return to you. When we realize that the Lord has turned away or removed himself from us or something isn't quite right in our relationship with him and we're looking for answers and solutions, you might say, Lord, what's going on? Or we might pray, Lord, you have to give more blessing and you have to do this and that. But the first step here is return to me. And then I will return to you. We're very quick to pray for the blessing of the Lord that he would do something. But he says, first return to me. And I will return to you. Amen. But you said, in what way shall we return? So again, such a question. In what way? It's unbelievable, but that's how we are. Because we don't fear the Lord. When the Lord of hosts speaks, the King of Kings, Malachi 1 says he is a great king, and he says, return to me. And you say, in what way? Oh, Lord. He is a great king. And that shows how far the people of God at that time had departed from him. Really how distant they were. And the Lord continues to speak and he enumerates how they must return to him. And this is not just written for them, but it is written for us. We can read this together. Malachi 3, 8 to 12. Malachi 3, 8 to 12. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. Amen. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's an ending that sounds quite good, right? Overflowing blessings, such riches, abundant riches. We all desire this. But the beginning is in verse 8. Will a man rob God? Wow, what a question. Will a man rob God? What is a man? What does the word say? What is man that you would regard him? Yeah, it also says that the man is as grass or a breath. Will a man rob God? Will grass rob God? Will a breath rob God? But this shows we are nothing. Everything we have comes from God. Who gave you life? Who gave you hands with which you can work? We didn't make ourselves. The Lord gave us health. Or who gives us our health? Or even if we don't have our health, that's the Lord. The Lord, everything comes from Him. And actually, we owe Him everything. And that's why the Lord says, you have robbed me, because they took all that. They received everything from the Lord, but they forgot Him. They just took their life and enjoyed it for themselves. They took their health and they enjoyed it for themselves. They took the material goods and their wealth and enjoyed it for themselves. And that's why the Lord says, you have robbed me. And the Lord says, as we know from the word, that you should bring the best into His house. Actually, He didn't say bring everything. He said, bring me the best. But even just bringing Him the best, not even everything, is hard for us. Why? Because our self is so, we're so self-absorbed. We want to receive and enjoy everything for ourselves. Our life, our money, our family. That is the old man. That's why God says, you have robbed me. And what is the result of that? What's the result of our taking everything for our own enjoyment? Verse 9, you are cursed with a curse. For you have robbed me, even this whole nation. It wasn't even just a few people who robbed him. It was the whole nation. And we've already heard that if a few make the beginning, then eventually the whole people will follow. So if there are a few priests in Zion who start to live their life for themselves, not to seek the Father, not to seek what offerings He wants, that will infect the others, such that the whole nation will live this way. So they might have a nice life and enjoy it, but in fact, the Lord cursed them with a curse. What is a curse? Well, in Genesis, the curse was that the man would have to labor on the land and sweat and labor. And this is really the case. I have myself noticed that if we want to enjoy life for ourselves, It's not like we deny the Lord. But we think, oh, I've got so much to work. I've got so much work. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. Now, when I come home, I've got these other things to do. And then I've still got to go to the meeting. Then after that, I've still got this, that, and the other thing to do. And then somebody calls me and wants to have fellowship with me. Well, then it starts to feel like an effort. And that is a sign that we are sweating. And if you are sweating, then you've got to ask the Lord, where am I robbing you? Because it's the curse of the sweat. In Haggai 1, this is also mentioned. Much. But indeed it came to little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why, says the Lord of hosts? Because of my house that is in ruins, while every one of you runs to his own house. And I'm sure everyone's house looked very nice. But the house of the Lord was in ruins. And as we read in Nehemiah, yeah, the pantry or the room where the food was rented out, even though it was actually meant to be reserved for the Lord, the Lord's food. Therefore, verse 10, the heavens above you withhold the dew and the earth withholds its fruit. And then there will be no more fruit, no more blessing. Praise the Lord. As priests, we belong to the Lord. Our whole life is for him. And with this foundation, we come to verse 10. This is Malachi 3:10. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Praise the Lord. Do we want to do this? Do we want to bring food into his house? In Nehemiah, they failed to do that. And then the priests just looked after their own houses. But if we all bring food into the house of the Lord, then the Lord will really bless this. This verse is often used to, with reference to money. Bring a tenth, bring your tithes or a tenth of your money so that God can bless you. And what happens? The pastor gets richer and richer. And then he gets in a private jet, flies around the world, builds a beautiful house for himself. And everyone says, oh, you see, it's the blessing of the Lord. But this verse is not just with reference to the spiritual. It is both spiritual and having to do with the material things. Why? Because our whole life, every aspect of it belongs to the Lord. We have so many concepts and there are so many so-called requirements people set, but this verse is very clear about what this verse is about. But as we've already seen, the Lord has provided everything that we have, even the money that we earn, and the Lord has put us in place as stewards, as it says in Acts. Ananias and his wife sold their field and they only brought a portion of the revenues to the apostles, but they pretended that it was everything. And Peter's answer was interesting. He said, why did you try to deceive the Holy Spirit? Was it not in your power whether to sell the field or not? And once the field was sold, was it not within your power? Wasn't it your decision to bring the profit? And then we know what happened after that. And what the Lord is showing here is that This is our responsibility to deal with what we've been given. And we are the stewards because everything belongs to Him anyway. That's why the Lord doesn't need our money. He's not asking us for His money. But if God wants to accomplish something, He isn't asking for material goods. For Him, money is the least of all things. It's not a big deal. He's not making a big deal out of money. Unlike religion, which makes it a really big deal. But for God, it's the least of all things. I'll read to you from Luke 16. These verses are especially good in this day and age where there's so much inflation, money is worth less and less. Luke 16, verses 10 and 11. Before that, he was already speaking of mammon. Says, make friends for yourself by unrighteous mammon in verse 9, and then in 10, he who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much, and he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? That is, the Lord shows here that mammon, which is to say money, is really the least of all things for God. So the mammon that he's entrusted us is the smallest thing for God. For us, it's so great, but for God, it's just such a small thing. And that shows actually the healthy prioritization or hierarchy. Mammon is the least of all things for God. That means we should not make it a great thing. If the Lord leads us to give him something, or if there is a need, then we can give, and we give unto the Lord. I had a small experience that in how we give our money, it is good to ask the Lord, not to give blindly or to just give out of a soulish sympathy or a desire to do something good, but ask the Lord, Lord, what I have is from you. So show me how I should give it, how I should use it. And the Lord will hear us, and he will examine if I really mean it, and then he will lead us. Praise the Lord. If we are only stewards, then we should follow what the boss wants, and we should ask the boss. And just as important, and maybe more important, is to bring the tithe into the house. And the Lord really showed us this way through the priestly service. It's not just a few brothers who prepare a word, but each one of us has this responsibility. To bring this portion, all the tithes, the feasts, the offerings, food for the priests. The Lord said we should bring all the tithes. And if we do that, if we bring all the tithes into the storehouse, then there will be food in his house. There's food for everyone. And the Lord even says, try me now in this. That is a really strong word. Actually, we shouldn't try God, but here he actually says, try me. Because he has promised it. And if he has promised it, then we can take him at his word. And we can try him. We can say, Lord, I give you 1 month. Each week, I'm going to have an experience of a feast. Real experience of a feast and bring an offering. Don't you think the Lord will give you progress, will bless your spiritual life, really make change in your life? Praise the Lord. Often we take it so lightly and we don't work seriously on this. And then there is a little growth. But if I really mean it and say, Lord, I want to be faithful to bring food into your house. If there's too little food in your house, it's not anyone else's fault. It's my responsibility. So Lord, I want to be faithful to bring it. And the Lord promises then that he will pour out for you such blessing. And he will even rebuke the devourer that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground. And all the nations will call you blessed. We can continue fellowship about this. Just a brief word about the blessing, because there's also a lot of mixture when people speak of this. Of course, blessing can manifest in many different ways. It could be that we grow in life, but there's gospel fruits. Could be many things. But the most important is peace in his house. If we serve the Lord faithfully and we are all progressing and we are all being transformed, don't you think that there will be peace also at home? And that's the most precious thing. You can have lots of things, material things, lots of knowledge, lots of high revelation. But what's the situation if I come home? If I come home and there's no peace, and the Lord isn't there, then all the other stuff is useless. That's why the Lord shows the verses in Psalm 132 and 133, where the Lord says, I have chosen Zion and desire to dwell there. Maybe we can read that. Psalm 132. Verse 13. This gives us all really a vision of Zion. For the Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired it for his dwelling place. This is my resting place forever. Here I will dwell, for I have desired it. Amen. I will abundantly bless her provision. I will satisfy her poor with bread. I will also clothe her priests with salvation. And her saints shall shout aloud for joy. Amen. There I will make the horn of David grow. I will prepare a lamp for my anointed. Amen. His enemies I will clothe with shame, but upon himself his crown shall flourish. Amen. And then Psalm 133 continues, Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, life forevermore. Amen. That's what the blessing of the Lord looks like. And don't we all want to have it? This is Zion, which he has chosen for his dwelling place. And there's food that he's blessing there. And he is clothing priests with salvation. And the enemy is defeated. And the crown shall flourish. Amen. Still, like the saints would really flourish in the Lord. Praise the Lord. This gives us a foretaste. We want to be faithful to you. We want to give you what is yours, and not just to take everything from you and enjoy it for ourselves, but really to be faithful to perform our priestly service completely. Then this is really salvation for the priest. The Lord will renew our walk, and we will see that it produces peace. How glorious would it be if in every family, in every house, you would see the peace of the Lord. Praise the Lord. And we bring the food into the house, and it's really a feast. Amen. And a delightful land. Then the nations will like to come. Praise the Lord. Let's really ask the Lord. Tell him we want to be faithful to him and give him that which is his. We don't have to compare to one another. The Lord appreciates if we give it to him with a true heart. The widow in the temple, what she gave was much more precious to the Lord than what many others gave, who gave much more, because it's not about whether you give a lot or a little, or whether it's a small feast or a large feast, but the Lord looks upon it, even if it's only a little. Amen. Let's really consider this word before the Lord. Lord, make your house glorious, that there would be food in your house.